Morning. Today's daf is Nun Ches in Shabbos. We're back on Nun Zion. We started yesterday the new parak, the sixth parak of Shabbos. Sixth parak of Shabbos talks about what we can and cannot wear out into the Rishus HaRabim. And by extension, when we talk about what we can't wear in the Rishus HaRabim, we're also going to try to define clothing. Okay, a lot of the clothing talk is going to go over my head as styles have changed over the years, and a lot of what we are discussing in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, I'm going to try to describe it, but you'll see. I'm going to struggle over the course of this morning, but let's just speak more conceptually, and then we'll continue from where we left off yesterday. We talked yesterday that an article can be clothing, and it could still be usher to wear in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Now, why would that be? So I can give you three explanations. The old gzeir is the Rabbanim, meaning all rabbinic decrees the rabbis didn't want you to wear into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So number one, you want to show it off to your friend. So in other words, you're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, you're wearing this item of clothing, and you want to take it off, you want to show it to your friend and say, hey, look what I got. Okay, because guys do that all the time with one another. Okay, so perhaps this is not talking about the male population, perhaps this is more talking about the female population, but either way. Right, the laharo sum. You want to show it to somebody else, and so the chachamim were concerned. So this would basically be articles of jewelry, things of that nature. Which again, they're clothing. It's not issur d'oraisa to carry out in the rishus rabbanan. Would be an issur d'rabbanan. Two, another consideration the chachamim had is that it would be a chatzitza, that the woman would have to go tov on the mikvah, and this clothing that she's wearing, this particular article of clothing that she's wearing, is worn tightly. She would need to loosen it. And it's the kind of thing where she's saying to herself, you know, I need to put it back on again. I'll just hold it in my hand and I'll go home and fine and be done with it. So that's the other concern that the Chachamim had. Tosfos pointed out, I quoted the Tosfos yesterday, back in Zayin Amud Aleph, considering the fact that it's something that she wouldn't put back on again, obviously this would not include any of her, you know, basic, right, her basic clothing, right, a coat, a cloak, or whatever the case is. If it's a basic article of clothing, obviously the gzera won't apply to that. The article applies to smaller ticket items, like braids in her hair, or things of that nature, which need to be untied. And then finally, something that a person is makpid about, a person is particular about. Now, what exactly does that mean? Stay tuned as well. I'm going to explain that a little bit better over the course of today's daf. Okay, so three separate reasons why the Chachamim may in fact make a gzera over certain articles of clothing that should not be worn in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We pointed out yesterday when we learned the Mishnah, not only should these articles of clothing not be worn in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, they shouldn't even be worn in a chatzer as well. Meaning that part of the gzera d'Rabbanan is we don't want people to habituate themselves to wear these articles of clothing at all. For fear that once you get used to wearing that clothing, you'll take it out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then again, you'll take it off and carry a dalam to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and as Rashi pointed out yesterday, that's all part of one larger gzera. Good. Furthermore, right, any more general points to make over here? No, I think that's it. I think we cover the basics conceptually. What did the Mishnah teach us yesterday? So a woman cannot go out on Shabbos. There's one other point I wanted to make. There was one article of clothing where the Chachamim were makel. The kavel. A kavel which we're going to try to describe today. Try to describe what it is today. So this kavel, the Chachamim said, look, we don't want the woman to be totally devoid of any type of tachshit and any type of jewelry. So they allow the woman to wear the kavel, but only in the chatzar, not take it out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So there is this idea of shalot tiskana al ba'ala, that we don't want the woman to be totally devoid of any type of jewelry. So the Chachamim allowed her to wear this kavel, but only, of course, in the chatzar, not out in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim should be apt to take it off. Okay, good. That's all generalities, that's all introduction. And now let's go back to the actual daf itself. We learned back in the Mishnah yesterday on Daf and Zion that a woman cannot go out with chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, and ritzur shebarosha. Okay, various strands in her hair. I mentioned yesterday machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, where these were things that were braided into her hair. These were things that were braided on top of her hair. Okay, again, it's important, but that was yesterday's daf. And the woman cannot go out with totafos and sarvitin, if they're not in fact tied to their headpiece, the irshal zahav, the katala, the nizamim. Okay, again, we're going to go through each one of these in detail. We are on the top now of Nunzayin Amud Beis. We're continuing the Gemara. We're at the two dots. We're three lines from the top of the Amud. And that is correct. We're a little bit behind. According to the Mishnah yesterday in Mikvos, in the ninth parak of Mikvos, which talked about which items of clothing are going to be considered a chatzitza, we said that if a woman is braiding her hair with other hairs, meaning hairs that she, you know, that were cut off from somebody else's head, perhaps even her own head, so in all these cases, the Mishnah says that would be chatzitza. That would be a chatzitza, an interposition. Chatzitza just sounds better. Yeah, chatzitza. It's a chatzitza, and therefore a woman has to take it off before she goes into the mikvah. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer called tzemer v'shal seyar ein chotzitzin. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that if it's made up of tzemer, which is wool or hair, meaning she braided her hair with somebody else's hair, so that's not a chatzitza. Why? Mibnei shamayim bayin bayin. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that these are not tied on tightly. It's a loose connection between these items and the woman's hair. And the water will get in there and there will be no chatzitza. The Gemara comments on this. It's based on how tight it's put on. So the Gemara now comments on Rabbi Yehuda. We're on the top of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shal Semer Shal Seir in Chotzim Mimnei Shamayim Baim Bahem. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Shmuel. Halacha Ker Rabbi Yehuda Bechutei Seir. That if a woman knots up her hair using hair, so that's not a chatzitza. And he says, and that's in fact the halacha, meaning simply the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Abayi Halacha Mechlal Depligi. Now, when you say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, you're paskening. Whenever you're paskening, you're saying, and you know, others argue. Well, who argue? So the Gemara says, well, perhaps you can make the argument that it's the Tanakhama which is arguing. The Dilma of the Gemara says, but it's not compelling. It's not a compelling argument. Why? Meaning maybe Rav Yehuda is using the hair as just simply a piggyback. Meaning, look, I know you agree with me over hair. Hair is not a chatzitza. A woman ties up her hair using hair, she won't tie it tightly, it's not a chatzitza, and you agree with me with that. So once you're agreeing with me on Seyar, so shouldn't you also agree with me about Chutei Tzemer? So in other words, in the Mishnah alone from Mikvos, we don't know that Rav Yehuda and the Tanakhama are arguing. So Idmar Rav Nachman Amashmol Modim Chacham Rav Yehuda B'Chutei Seyar, and the Gemara says, and this is in fact, in other words, this is correct, that the Chachamim do not argue about human hair. Human hair is not a chatzitza. Tanya na mihachi, chutei tzemer chotzitzin. Chutei tzemer ein chotzitzin. Rav Yehuda Amar, shal tzemer v'shal tzemer ein chotzitzin. Gemara quotes another braisa. Again, the conclusion is correct. It's a valid conclusion. There is no debate by human hair. It's not a chatzitza. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masitza na mideika. In fact, now that we know this, that there's no machlokas by Seyar, so now we go back to our Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah carefully, and you'll see it right in the Mishnah. There is no debate. The Mishnah says that a woman can go out on Shabbos, whether and her hair being braided up, and it's being and what's braiding it is human hair, and it doesn't matter whether it's her own hair, whether it's somebody else's hair. It's not a chatzitza. Now, who's the author of our Mishnah here in Shabbos, 6th Perek? So, Mani Yilem, Rav Yehuda, Afilu Chutei Tzemer Nami. Well, it can't be Rav Yehuda, because remember, Rav Yehuda says that wool is not a chatzitza. So, according to Rav Yehuda, a woman would be allowed to go out on Shabbos with her hair braided with hair or with her hair braided with wool. So, our Mishnah is not Rav Yehuda. So who's that? Who's left? Elalav Rabbananu Ishmamina Bechutiser Lo Pligi Ishmamina. So it must be that the author of our Mishnah is the Chachamim, and what comes out now is, like we said, the Chachamim are not arguing about human hair. Done. The Gemara continues. V'lo b'totafos. My totafos. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos wearing her totafos. Now for men, we know what totafos are. It's tefillin. Now, obviously, that's not what we're talking about in the context of women. So, what is it? I'm Rav Yosef, Chumarta de Katifa. Okay, now I hope all this helps people here, because we're describing what's worn, and we're not only describing what's worn, but we're using it, we're saying it in Aramaic. Okay, so we are circa 3rd, 4th century in Bavel, fashion of the times. What's Chumarta de Katifa? So, Rashi over here tries to help us. So, Rashi writes, Kesher Shosin Lerefuos Kituf. Ayin Ra Shalot Tishlot. Okay, it's an amulet. It's a type of amulet that's worn. It's to ward off the Ayin Hara. I know Rabbi Goldberg just spoke about this on a shir, and if I can plug the rabbi, you can listen to him on yutara.com.org. Okay, I'm glad I'm plugging him and not knowing the actual name of the website. But anyway, he just spoke about this on Shir about the Ein Hara, but the Gemara over here speaks about Tota Fos, which is basically an amulet. So Amalei Abayi, so Abayi says, to have a kikameh mumcha v'tishtarei. Well, if that's so, did you know? Well, you didn't yet because we haven't learned it yet, but we're going to learn it later on in our perek. You're allowed to wear amulets. In fact, amulets were written. And not only were amulets written, but they were written by experts. Experts who know how to write amulets to properly ward off from the Ayin Hara. Okay. I know the rationalists here in this room are going to have a difficulty with all this, so I'm not speaking to the rationalists right now. Speaking to you who understand what's going on right now. I'm not sure if I'm one of them, but the amulets, in fact, are mutter to wear on Shabbos. So if the Totafos is nothing more than an amulet, and an amulet's thought to be worn on Shabbos, so then why would our Mishnah say that a woman can't go out with Totafos? So the Gemara. Gemara bails on that first shot, and the Gemara says it's a apuzaina. Now Rashi over here uses French. Phil, you can help me over here. Frontal headband, right, something that's worn on the forehead of a woman. Okay, good. So that's you come here to hear these very scientific definitions. Something that's worn on the front of the woman's forehead. So Tayinami Hacha, the Gemara says this is in fact correct. Yotze isha b'svacha. A woman could go out with svacha. Now, again, we're talking about headgear that's worn by a woman. Now, I can only help us so much in all this, but here's what I do know. Svacha. Svacha, you're going to see that term come up a couple times over the course of this morning's daf. In the Gemara, it's with a samach, Rashi has it with a sin, either way. The point is that that's basically the woman's tichel. Okay, for you people over there, tichel is head, you know, her head covering. Meaning that her svacha, a woman would not take off. Not in a chaser, not in a reshus harabim. Meaning that's the thing where she will keep that on her head, and if she takes it off, it will expose her hair, and she wouldn't take it off. Okay, that's the svacha. And as the Gemara is about to point out a little bit later on, anything below the svacha, the chachamim we're not worried about. She's not going to take off her svacha, so obviously anything below that, Chachamim weren't worried about that because she'd first have to take off her svacha, which she wouldn't do. Anything on top of the svacha, which apparently the woman placed on top of that, you go out to the Hasidic communities, you'll see that they wear one thing on top of another thing on top of another thing. So in other words, it was done, where they wore layer upon layer upon their head. So anything above the svacha, so that the Chachamim were worried about. Because the woman would be able to take it off and have no fear because her hair would still be covered. So the svacha basically now is your cutoff point. So the Braisa reads, let me go back and read it again. Yotze isha b'svacha hamuzeves. If the svacha is laden with gold, that's fine. And of a totafos, of a sarvitin akvun ba. So ezu totafos ezu sarvitin. Am rabbi abahu totafos mukefeslami ozen laozen. The totafos is this headband going from ear to ear. Okay, so it's something that starts at the ear, goes to the other ear, and it's basically a head plate. Sarvitin amagin la ad lechaya. In sarvitin, something that goes down to her cheek, ribbons or some bands that hit her cheek. Amar avuna ani ososin ososhal minitzivonim ashir ososin ososhal kesef v'shal zahav. The poor women would make it of color. In other words, they couldn't afford the gold or silver, so they would just use color ribbons. And the rich and the wealthier women would use gold or silver coming down. Okay, but anyway, so that's our pshat of totafos. Totafos now are the headbands, and basically, so now let's just conclude. Our Mishnah says a woman cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Why not? Because it's not sewn in to her kavel. And because it's not sewn into the kavel, so the chachamim were worried that she's going to take it off and show it to her friend, and then have forgotten to put it back onto her head and walk four amos in the reshus harabim. That is totafos. Velo bekavel. Okay, and now we're up to the kavel. The kavel is really going to occupy most of our day today, most of our morning this morning, trying to understand what the kavel is. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos with a kavel. Now, as I pointed out back already in the Mishnah, this prohibition is only for her not to go out with it into a Rishus HaRabim. She can go out with it into a Chatzir, but not into a Rishus HaRabim. I quoted Rashi already once today. I'll quote Rashi a second time. The reason why the Chachamim allow her to wear it in the Chatzir is that the Chachamim left her with something to adorn herself with. So this kavel is something that she adorns herself with. Now, Amar Rav Yana kavel zeini yodea mahu. So Rav Yana is already frustrated. I don't know what the kavel is that's mentioned in our Mishnah. I kavla da avda tanan of a kippah shal tzemer shepidami, odim a kippah shal tzemer tanan of a kosher ken kavla da avda. Now, kavla is an ambiguous term, and it can mean one of two things. Either it can mean kavla da avda. Slaves, when they go out, so they wore some sort of insignia, some sort of patch on the garment that told the world that they were slaves. Okay. The basic purpose of this kavla was identification. You now knew that this person was owned by such and such an individual. And obviously the owner wants his slave to go out with the seal. So, and perhaps I'm saying this, it could also be protection of the slave, meaning that he's not just simply a wanderer or a loiterer, but in other words, he is property of so-and-so. I know it's not very modern to speak about people as property of so-and-so, but we are talking about avadim, so, and just simply what it is. So he's the property of so-and-so, and so therefore, don't harm him, don't touch him. Okay, so certainly for purpose of identification, and maybe even for protection. So one pshat of kavla is that it's the seal of a slave. Another pshat of kavla is what we've been describing, which is some sort of decorative headpiece that's worn by a woman on top of her svacha. So, Rabbi Yana says, I don't know what our Mishnah is making reference to. It's ambiguous, and I don't know. Now, if the Mishnah is talking about the kavla da'avda, the slave's seal, so then that would mean that a slave can't go out with the patch, but a woman for sure could go out with her headdress. I mean, in other words, that would seem to be the obvious progression. Okay. Odilma kippah shel tzemer tanan v'kosher ken kavla da'avda. Or maybe our Mishnah means when it says kavel, it's talking about the woman's headdress. She can't go out with it. It's ornamental. It's tachshit, but she's already wearing the svacha underneath. And the Chachamim were worried, well, she may take off her kavel and forget to put it back on again. And if that's aser, you can only imagine that the slave can't go out with the patch. Okay, that's Rabbi Yana's frustration. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Mistaber Kamandam, Kippah Shel Tzemer Tanan. Well, Rabbi Abahu says it would make sense that our Mishnah is talking about the headdress of a woman. V'tayin Namihachi, Yotzei Isha B'Kavol, V'Istana L'Chatzir, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Amar Af B'Kavol, L'Rishos HaRabim. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Kol Shu Lamata Min HaSvacha, Yotzei Bo, Kol Shu Lamala Min HaSvacha, Ein Yotzei Bo. Okay. Gemara quotes a Braisa. What's clear from the Braisa is that the Braisa is talking about Kavol, and what it's speaking about is some sort of headdress worn by a woman. Now, the Tanakama of this Braisa is our Mishnah. It's the same opinion. She can go out with it into her Chatzah, but she cannot go out with it into the Rishus HaRabim. Good. But what the Braisa also introduces us is to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says she can even go out with it into her Rishus HaRabim.
Because she's not going to take it off.
Yeah, right. Apparently he's not worried that she's going to take it off. Agreed. Okay, and if it's above the svacha, it would be prohibited. If it's below, it would be permitted. And presumably, the kavel was worn below, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. My istama, one of the things mentioned in this price is istama am Rabbi Abahu biz yonei. Okay, good. My biz yonei. Next step of the discussion. I'm Rabbi, I'm a Rav, Kalya Peruche. So the Gemara suggests it's Kalya Peruche. What is that? Rashi points out, after a woman covers her hair, there's still going to be strands of hair, small strands of hair that are coming out of the techel. So some women have the custom of covering even those hairs as well. So what she has is she has some sort of mitznefes katana. I'm reading Rashi. She has a some small scarf where after her hair is covered, she wraps the scarf off to cover all those loose strands of hair that weren't covered by her main tichel. Okay. So, and that says the Braisa she can go out with on Shabbos. Tana Rabbana Gimel Dvarim Nemru Bi Istama. Now, three things that we said regarding this Istama. Again, it's this extra covering that she wore to cover all the small hairs. Eima Mishim Klaim, it's not subject to the Isra of Kalayim. Now, why not? Why would it not be subject to the Isra of Kalayim? So the Gemara suggests, well, you know why? I'm sorry, Rashi suggests, because it's made out of felt, and the wool and the linen are not spun. Now, this Rashi is speaking to an idea that we've spoken to many times throughout the course of the Gemara, is that in order to violate the Isra of Kalayim, so the wool and the linen have to be combed, spun. In other words, it has to go through processing. If it's not yet processed, if it's just raw wool or raw linen, so therefore there is no Isra of Kalayim. Now, this position of Rashi is subject to debate. You can take a look at Tosfos over here, and there's much discussion about whether or not it's totally permissible, or maybe there's an Issa d'Rabbanan. Okay, so see Tosos for more discussion about that. Well, we're going to go on. Einam etame b'nagayim, it's not subject to Tumas Negayim. Again, Rashi explains why not. Meaning, even if it has a nega on it, it's not going to be tame, because nigay begadim, tsaras begadim, is only going to be tsaras only if it's on clothing which was processed, or the wool and or the linen. Or I should say rather, or the wool or the linen was spun, combed, spun, meaning went through all the processing. So it's not subject to Tumas Negayim, and Yotzim Bala Rishos Arabim, and you cannot go out with it into Rishos Arabim, and Rabbi Shimon Amru, Af Ein Ba Mishum Ataras Kalos. And one other thing about the Istama, is that there's no issue of Ataras Kalos. What is that? Rashi explains that there's a gzera that after the destruction of the Chorban Habayis, certain ornaments, certain jewelry cannot be worn, meaning that we have basically a muted sense of self after the destruction of the temple. So things which are overly ornamental, women cannot wear on, not on Shabbos, meaning ready. In general. So this item is not considered extraly lavish, and so therefore a woman could wear it even after the Chorban Habayis. Okay. Now, let's recap, because we got a little bit lost over here in the Tumas Negayim and Kalayim and Kalos, Ataras Kalos, but anyway, let's recap. Our Mishnah says that a woman cannot go out with a kavul on Shabbos into the Rishos HaRabim, but she can go out in a chatzir. What is a kavul? Rabbi Yannai says, I really don't know. And then Rabbi Abahu says, we're talking about the kippah shel tzemer. We're talking about the headdress of a woman. Okay, that is so far pshat number one of our Gemara. And now we're on the top of Menaches Amud Aleph, and we are now number two, Shmuel Amar. We have a machlokas now in our Gemara between Shmuel and Rabbi Abahu. Now, I didn't make this point earlier. Some have the girsa that it's not Rabbi Abahu, but it's rather Rav. Now, that's good, because that's normally how it works, meaning it's normally a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So, in other words, if you look back previously in the previous Amud, you'll see Amir Rabbi Abahu on the side of the Gemara, Itmar, Rav Amar Kippa Shal Tzemer Tanan, Ushmuel Amar Kavla Da'avda. So, it's a classic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Although I will note, however, that Rashi has our girsa of the Gemara. You can see that clearly from the second Rashi on Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, Upalig Ad Rabbi Abahu. So, Rashi has our girsa. Okay. And look, in general, it's just important to know who said what, meaning we want proper attribution. And also maybe a second point is that if in fact it's Rav, we know that Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel on Isurim, the halacha falls like Rav. If it's Rabbi Abahu, which is what we have in our Gemara, well, that's not always true, meaning we don't have a tried and true rule of Machlok is Rabbi Abahu and Shmuel, who's the halacha like? So in other words, the halacha could fall like Shmuel. Anyway, Ushmuel Amar Kavla Da'avda Tanan. So he says, no, Amish is talking about the slave's patch. Okay? And what our Mishnah is saying now is that a slave cannot go out on Shabbos with this patch. And the obvious question is, well, why not? But what's the issue? So, Kavla da'avda tananu, mi amar shmol hachiv amar shmol yotzei. So, I'm sorry. I just opened the question. I will answer it in just a moment. Let's read on a little bit of Gemara, and you will see the answer in just a second. The Hamar Shmuel Yosei Avi Bechosim Shabbat Savro, Velo Bechosim Shabbat Ksuso. So the Gemara says, we have a statement by Shmuel. Shmuel says that if it's worn around the neck, so if the Eved is wearing his patch around the neck, so in other words, it was kind of like a necklace. This badge, not a badge of honor, but a badge of identification. So Shmuel says that an Eved can go out on Shabbos if it's a necklace badge, but not chosam shibik suso. But not if it's a seal on his clothing, a patch on his clothing. So lokasha hadavele rabbe hadavele ihu lenafshe. So the Gemara says, well, really, there's no contradiction. It depends who's making him wear the badge. If it's his owner making him wear the badge, that's going to result in one halacha. But if it's he himself who made his own badge, that's going to result in a different halacha. Now, what's the difference? So now let's take a look at Rashi. And Rashi writes where Rashi is the fourth line down, the avale rabbe isle emasa velo shakale mitzavere laholicho biado. So the Gemara says, because look, if your owner made for you a patch to wear that say that you're a Zevin, so you would be terrified to take it off. Meaning you are a slave, you are owned by somebody, his instructions are, you must wear this, and you will have absolutely no motivation to want to take it off. In fact, just the opposite. You're going to be motivated to want to keep it on. So therefore, Shmuel says that if the owner is demanding that you wear it, on Shabbos, you must, but on Shabbos, you can take it out into the chatzah, you can take it out even into the Rishos HaRabim. And the reason why is because you'd be afraid to take it off. But if for whatever reason the slave decides, he was instructed to wear it, but he decided on his own he wants to wear it. Self-imposed identification. For whatever reason, maybe because it would protect him, whatever the case is. Then the concern is that he may end up taking it off and removing it in the Rishos HaRabim. So, good. That's where we stand now with Shmuel. Now, b'mayu kimta lahad Shmuel da'avalei rabbe b'chosam shebiksusa amaylo. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're talking about where the patch was made by his master. So, if it's put on his clothing, so what would be the issue? So the Gemara says, Dilma mifsek umirtach umikpolei umachis le'katfei. Kid Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Dam Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Am Rav Yochanan, Yosef betalos mekupelos umenechis le'ktefav v'shabbos chayev chatas. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is that if he wears a patch on his clothing, so it may come off. It may break, it may come off. Now remember, this was enforced by his owner. His owner told him that he had to wear it. Now if in fact it falls off, so now he's walking out on the street patchless. He's terrified. Owner finds out that he walks out without his identification, so he's going to get in a lot of trouble. So what he's then going to do is as follows. The next move is going to be, now to pick it up and to just simply put it back on, that won't work. Meaning apparently it was sewed on, and he's not going to sew it on Shabbos. First of all, that's usur. Secondly, it's just simply impractical. So what he'll do is he'll simply take a garment, right, somebody's garment, fold it, and put it over his shoulder to cover the area where his patch should be. So that nobody hopefully will notice that he's walking out on Shabbos without his patch. Now, the problem with that is, that's not wearing clothing. That's carrying clothing. Carrying clothing on Shabbos is an Isser D'Araisa. The Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan, Hayotze betalas mekupalas menachas al ktefav v'Shabbos chayv chatas. You do that on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv v'karben chatas. So fine. So in other words, so the problem with the patch worn on the clothing is that if in fact it falls off, now the Eved's going to be tempted to put over, to drape over his shoulder an article of clothing that's not wearing, that's carrying. And that's why the Chachamim would say that if it's the slave's patch that he's wearing on his clothing, he cannot go out with that on Shabbos for fear that it's going to come off.
You're wearing a jacket, it's over, not with the sleeves on, is okay, but it's not folded.
Because it's not folded, I guess. I don't know. I simply don't know. V'chiyad amalei Shmuel Rav China bar Shilo kol Rabban and Debei Reish Kolusa lo lifkala b'sar v'lechamisei labar minach lo kapti alaycha Debei Reish Kolusa. And similarly, we have Shmuel saying to Rav China bar Shilo, look, Apparently, there was a garment that was Reish Galusa instructed the rabbis to wear. Now, why did he instruct the rabbis to wear that? So, it's not clear from the Gemara. From Rashi, it sounds like it's to show that they're subservient to the Reish Galusa. Okay? They're quote-unquote slaves to the Reish Galusa. Now, other Rishonim say, you're not going to see this on the daf, you have to look in, you know, you have to look around. But other Rishonim say, the Rashba says this, that it was worn in order to show that they're exempt from taxes. But whatever the case is, because the Reish Galusa instructed the rabbis to wear it, so now you can't wear this garment into the Rishas Rabim for the reason that we just explained. Because the Pesh may come off, the Reish Galusa will find out about it, he's going to get angry, and then you're going to throw something, some sort of shawl over your shoulder in order to try to cover it. And so therefore, Shmuel says to the Chachamim, don't wear this garment into the Rishos HaRabim. But you, he points to Rav Chena Bar Shila, you can. Why can you do it? Because you know that the Reish Galusa won't get upset with you for reasons which the Gemara doesn't really articulate. But you know that he's not going to get upset with you, so you can wear it, but the rest of them cannot wear it. Okay, Gufa. Okay, and now, let's recap. Shmuel says that if it's a necklace that is an identifying marker for the slave, that he can wear on Shabbos, and even to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not a patch on the garment, as we explained already. Shmuel's explanation is, it's going to fall off, he's going to be mortified, and he's going to try to throw something over his shoulder in order to cover it up.
Why
should
we avoid that he's going to pick it up and carry it? Yeah, more direct
thing. Right, correct.
Why wouldn't you have the same concern here? You have something, you have this emblem sewn onto your clothes on one hand, and you're wearing it around your neck.
Right, by the neck? Right, by the neck, it's a necklace. Oh, okay. The Gemara's worried less it's going to fall off. Stay tuned. Perhaps the upcoming Gemara will help you a little bit in terms of understanding it. It's a fair question. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara starts by quoting a Braisa. We'll call this Braisa number one. Yotze Evi Bechosen Shebetzavera, Avalo Bechosen Shebeksuso. Okay. And the Braisa, exactly what Shmuel says. Braisa says the same as well. Necklace, Evi can wear the necklace, but the patch on the garment, no. Okay, good. Viriminu. Here's the problem. The problem is going to be Braisa number two. And from this point going forward, we're just going to simply call this Braisa number two. It's a long Braisa. It's going to cover about six lines of Gemara. Lo yetza eved b'chosen shebatzaro v'lo chosen shebeksuso. Okay, so already, like you already see the problem. The Braisa says that an eved cannot wear a chosen not around his neck, meaning not the slave's necklace, and not the chosen shebeksuso. And oh, by the way, zevezei mekabel tuma, neither going to be mekabel tuma, meaning it's not. What do you mean? What do I mean? It's not. It's not a kli. It's not a garment. It's just simply not. It's not mekabel tuma. V'lo b'zug shebetzavaro, bells. Having a slave wear a bell around the neck. Now, it sounds terrible.
What's the point of mentioning tuma in context of carrying a Shabbat?
Well, just nothing. Meaning, as long as we're correct. Agreed. But as long as we're here. So let's talk about it. It's whether or not it's a kli. Is it a garment? The answer is no, it's not a garment. It's not a garment, it's not. It's just simply nothing. It doesn't fit into any category for tuma. And now what about the bell? So, the eved cannot wear a bell around his neck, but if it's a bell that's sewn into his garment, that would be fine. Oh, okay, fine. What about the clapper to the bell? So, stay tuned. You're right. And Zev is a mekabel tuma. Now, here by the bell, it is mekabel tuma because a bell is a kli. Okay. V'lo teitze behima. Now, the Braisa continues by contrasting this with an animal. I know, it's a base comparison, but, you know, it's But the halacha is going to apply to an animal as well. Now, when it comes to an animal, so not on the animal's neck, no bell around the neck, and no bell on the clothing as well. Not bell yet. Not with a seal around the neck, and not with a seal on the animal's clothing. And no bells at all. not around the neck and not around the clothing, Zevzeh Mekabel Tumah, and it's not Mekabel Tumah. Okay. Wait, just give me a moment. Give me a moment. So now, that is all Braisa number two. Now, obviously the problem is that this goes against Shmuel. Shmuel says that when it comes to a chosam worn around the neck, so Shmuel says that's fine. Chosam, for the slave, we're on the slave. Chosam in the clothing, no, says Shmuel, that you cannot do. And then the Braisa that we just quoted, the first line of the Braisa was, no chosam at all. Not around the neck, not on the clothing. That's a problem. And so the Gemara proposes, well, can't we go back to the previous distinction where depends who made it for him, did he make it for himself versus his Rebbe making for him? And remember the difference we mentioned earlier was, if the Rebbe made it for him, he'd be terrified. And if it falls off, he's going to want to cover it. As opposed to if he made it for himself, not so bad. So the Gemara says, "Lo idiv idi David le Rabbe, v'kan b'shal mateches v'kan b'shal tet." So now the Gemara is going to introduce another suggestion. Well, the Gemara says, "Look, both of them are made by his Rebbe, prepared for him by his Rebbe. It's just the material of the chosam. In the Braisa, we were discussing a chosam that was made out of metal. Shmuel was talking about one that was made out of clay." And the difference being, and look, if it's made out of metal, so that obviously is more significant. And his master's going to care. And if, in fact, it falls off of his neck, so he's going to really want to pick it up because, oh no, meaning this is something of value. And so he's going to be worried if it falls off. It falls off his neck, falls off his garment. It doesn't really matter. He's going to be tempted to pick it up and bring it back home, and then he's going to end up carrying it in the Rishos HaRabim. And that's the Braisa, and that's why the Braisa says no and no. No if it's worn around his neck. No if it's sewn into his clothing. But Shmuel was talking about where it's made out of earthenware. And if it's made out of earthenware, it's cheap. Earthenware, as we mentioned time and again, break it, it's fine. It will simply replace it. So, and the Gemara says, and now it's totally logical. Because look, in Braisa number two, one of the points that I was making is that, no, you know, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Now, look, metal in general is Mekabel Tumah. And the point that the Braisa wanted to make is that this Chosam, even though it's made out of metal, because it's not a kli and because it's not a garment, it's just not, so therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. But Ela Yamar Bishal Tit, but if it's made out of earthenware, and even my description of earthenware, not a great description. Meaning it's not even earthenware, it's clay. If it's just clay, Tananami Hu Dalam Mekabel Tumah, Hakelim Dutum Mekabel Tumah, the Gemara says, and what do you want to tell me now? Well, this is a Mekabel Tumah, but you know, clay in general is Mekabel Tumah. Clay in general is not Mekabel Tumah, period.
Does clay have to be a kli to be
Mekabel Tumah? We learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara says Tanya, but it's the Mishnah. Kli avanim, kli galalim, kli adamayim, Mekabel Tumah, lama divrei tovah, lama divrei sofrim. Any kli that's made out of either stone or dung, excrement, or made out of earth, meaning not earthenware, Rashi explains. Earthenware is where
you
bake it, you put it in the furnace. We're just talking about where you basically pressed earth together. These are materials that are not Mekabel Tumah on any level. Not min haTorah, not min derabanan, it's not Mekabel Tumah. If the Braisa was talking about the chosam that was made out of clay, the Braisa's point, you know it's not Mekabel Tumah. I don't need to say that. Once it's made out of clay, it's never Mekabel Tumah. So it's clear that we're talking about metal, and this distinction is a great distinction. Meaning the Braisa was talking about a chosen that was made out of metal, and this is what I described in the beginning of today's shir. He's makbid, meaning he knows that if he doesn't come home with it, his master's going to get so angry with him. So he's going to be tempted to pick it up and bring it home. If it's made out of clay, what's the big deal?
I'm still... sorry to repeat the question. Yeah. What's the connection between mentioning Truma and caring? Is it because they're saying that it makes it significant? It makes
no, it just simply wants to, I'm explaining this based on Rashi. The Bryce's point is just simply, it's not a kli and it's not a, it's not a kli and it's not clothing.
What's the point of mentioning
it? You could have argued it's an article of clothing. You could have made that argument. Well, the Bryce says don't make that argument. It's not a valid argument. It's not a kli, and it's not clothing, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah.
But it's like a uniform.
But it's a badge that's worn on top of the uniform. It's just not.
So we see from here that the concern was picking it up, not to fold the clothing and hide it.
After all this, right. Now we could say there are two separate concerns. Okay. One concern is that if it's metal, he's going to pick it up and go back home. And that's why it doesn't matter where it's worn, around his neck, on his clothing, it doesn't matter. Right. He'll be tempted to pick it up and go home. That's the Braisa, and that's what the Braisa says, lo yetzei ha'eved b'chosam shebatzaro v'lo chosam shebeksuso. Meaning no and no, flatly no. And then Shmuel, where the discussion started with, says, well, if it's worn around the neck, that's fine. But if it's worn in his clothing, that's not fine. Why? What's the difference? Well, Shmuel is talking about where it's made out of clay. So he's not going to pick it up and go home. It goes and falls in the ground, it breaks. But what he's worried about now is that if it's on his clothing, it's apparent now that he's walking around without it. Apparently, it is conspicuous. That he's, and so therefore he's going to fold the clothing over it, and he's going to walk around. That's where we stand with all this. Shema mina, shema techa, shema mina. Okay, Amar Mar. V'lo bezug shebetzavro, v'yosehu bezug shebetzuso. Okay, some bell talk. Okay, now zug shebetzavro, my lo, dilma mifseg v'asu lesui zug v'lasuye. Now the bell worn around his neck, the problem is it's going to fall to the ground. He's going to want to pick it up. He's going to carry it for Amos and Rishos Rabbit. This is what we call he's makbid. So the Gemara says, what about the bell around his the bell that's in his clothing? It was woven into his clothing. Once the bells are woven into his clothing, that's fine. We're not worried it's going to fall off. So, what we just learned in the Gemara is that bells that are woven into your clothing, that's fine, you can go out within Shabbos. Clappers off, by the way, because clappers on, so it's going to produce sound, and that's going to be an issue, so the clapper is off. So as I just mentioned, the clapper now is, the clapper is not inserted into the bell. So, Tosus over here is bothered. See the Tosus right alongside where we are in the Gemara. What the Gemara just basically concluded is that if the bell is stitched and sewn into the clothing, it's fine. And we're not worried it's going to fall off. So why are we worried about the chosam? Meaning if the slave's badge, if the slave seal is woven into the clothing, so aren't you worried that, so shouldn't we no longer worry? And why did Shmuel say that, well, if the slave's badge is sewn into the clothing, I'm worried it's going to fall off. Well, why by the bells? When were we not worried? Tosus asked this very question. The Im Tomar. I'm reading. So why aren't we worried? Once the badge is sold into the clothing, stop worrying. Look, it's normal to tie bells into clothing, and then to tell the world at large, you know, on Shabbos, we want you to take the bells out. Like that's a tircha. That's going to be a serious, right? It'll be an expense. Avachosam ein derech lasosa bechol habegadim, but to put a patch on clothing, a slave's patch on clothing, is not as normal. Shenu yipu habegin. It's not for the beautification of the garment. It's for identification of the person wearing it. And the Chachamim therefore made a gzera, even if it's sewn in, because it's not always stitched in. Sometimes it's just affixed with a safety pin or something along those lines. And so therefore, since it's not ornamental and specific to the garment, but it's more specific to the person. So therefore, the Tosis explains, the rabbis made a gzeira about the slave's garment slave's patch, even if it were stitched in. You'll have to say, I mean, it's just one large gezerah. Okay, we're going back to Braisa number two. Braisa number two, which is in the middle of the Amud, said that when it comes to the animal cannot go out with Shabbos, not with the patch and not with the bell. And then, and by the way, why can't it go out with the bell, even if the clapper is taken out? You remember we already discussed that back in the fifth parak of Shabbos. The concern is that it looks like you're taking him to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So, right, Marasayan is how we described it earlier.
Well, maybe without the clapper, it doesn't look that way.
Even without the clapper. Yeah. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said earlier, even without the clapper, it looks like you're taking him out to the marketplace, and so therefore it is... Okay. And then the Braisa said that it's... it's not mekabel tumah. Bells are not mekabel tumah. V'rimenu, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Zuk shel behemah tumah. We have the Braisa, and the Braisa says that the bell of an animal is mekabel tumah. V'shel delos tahara. Now, the bell on the door is not mekabel tumah. Why not? Rashi, top of the Amud, delos mechuba labaythu, shuchiba lakarka, ve'eno kli lekabel tumah. V'zuga asu lo, batal agabeh. Because once you attach the bell to the door, that bell is grounded. Right? We talk about this time and again. Anything that's grounded is not mekabel tumah. Your house is not mekabel tumah. If there's a mace in this house, right? Remember, we've spoken about this many times. If there's a mace in the house will be a conduit of tumah. It'll be a conductor. The tumah will go up, hit the roof, come down, and make everything under the roof tameh. But the house itself is not mekabel tumah. The house is grounded. So once I attach a bell to a door, which is attached to the house, the bell is grounded, and therefore not mekabel tumah. Sheldelos v'asal lebehema tameya. Now, let's say I take the bell off the door, and I stick it to an animal. It is, it's a bell, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. However, what about the opposite? Shel behema v'asal ledelos, afa pi shechibru ledelos v'kavu b'mas merim tameh. Well, I take the bell off the animal. It was a kli. How does something lose a kli status? Only with a physical change to the item itself. Just because I rip it off the animal and put it on the door, and even I nail it to the door, but I didn't change the item itself, and so therefore the bell will continue to be mekabel tumah. So, the problem is very simple. We just quoted a lengthy Braisa, and the Braisa says the bell is mekabel tumah, and Braisa number two of Amud Aleph says that the bell is not mekabel tumah.
So long as it's connected to the door.
Alokasha hadi slay inval. So the Gemara says, well, it depends whether it has a clapper if it doesn't have a clapper. With a clapper, it's a kli. Without a clapper, it's not a kli. The Gemara says, what manavshach? I manu hu afa pitalei slay inval. I love manu hu. Inval mashvele mana? Well, I don't understand. Make up your mind. If it's a kli, why does the clapper change anything? And if it's not a kli, so the clapper is going to make it a kli? So the Gemara says, in? No, that's correct. Once I put a clapper in there, and now it produces a sound, it's a source of tumah, it's a kli. Shenemer kol davar asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh, and it's a drush. Kol davar, you see what we're going to do with the word davar? Afilu dibor yavo ba'esh, meaning once it produces a sound. I mean dibor is speech, but you know we produce sounds. That's what I've been doing for the last 50 minutes. I've been producing sounds. Okay, some of it even made sense, but I'm saying, but that's in other words, anything which produces a sound is mekabel tumah. Fine. B'mayu kimta, I know the hour is late. Just give me a moment. Let's just finish this one thread. B'mayu kimta b'daleis le'inval. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what you're telling me is that the Braisa that speaks about it not being mekabel tumah is one where it doesn't have a clapper. Eima mitziyasa v'lo b'zuk shebet savaro. Ava yoseu b'zuk shebet susa v'zev v'zem mekabel tumah. I d'leis le'inval mi mekabel tumah. V'riminu. The Gemara says, what about the bell with no clapper that it was attached to the garment? It says it is mekabel tuma, but why should that be? Ahusa zagla machtesha solarisa ulem mitpachos farim and mitpachos tinokus yeshlem inval tameim elam inval taharim nidlu invalayim adaim tuma alayim. So the Gemara says that the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that if I have bells and I attach it to, mentions a lot of things, a bell for grinder and a bell for a cradle and a bell for Sfarim and a bell for a bib. So if it has a clapper, it's Tameh, and if it doesn't have a clapper, it's Tahor. And if you take the clapper out, it's still Tameh. So Hanimila Bitinok de la Kala Avidele Avagodo Tachid Hule Avagodo Inval. So the Gemara explains like this. Look, if I'm attaching a bell to a garment, with or without a clapper, doesn't matter. It's an accessory to the garment. It's now part and parcel of the garment. It's Mekabel Tuma. But if I'm wearing the bell for the purpose of a bell, so then the clapper makes all the difference. With a clapper now, it's a functional bell, and it's going to give off tuma. Without the clapper, it's nothing. It's not a garment, it's not a kli, and therefore it's nothing.
Without the clapper, is that a shinui?
Ripping the clapper off?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's daf.
Is that a new identity?
Tomorrow's daf. Okay, well, that's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Okay? Rabbi Hanani ben Akash, I'm sorry. The learning we do this morning should be for continued refuah shleima. Rabbi Yamin Zev, HaKohen ben Shimon. Rabbi Hanani ben Akash, I'm a Ratzakash Baruch Hu, Zach, Yisrael, Afi, Chachir, Bam, Tzor, Mitzvah, Shanem, Arnei, Chafetz, Matzikau, Yadgil, Tzor, Avi, Adir.